really happy to have a great creator and artist on Press Start to Continue. This is KJ. Hi, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Thanks for being on Press Start to Continue.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to think of like exactly how I came across your music. I'm in a project with another dude called Some Art Guy, and he posted your Dearly Beloved video. And I was like, oh my god, this is great. So I messaged him, I was like, give me his information. because Dearly Beloved, as I've said on the show before, is one of my favorite, it's my favorite song from Kingdom Hearts.
And like playing it is very fun and relaxing as well. Actually, it's a very nice practice. You can improvise with it very, very, very well. It's a very incredible piece that Yoko Shimomura did.
It's the start menu music, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that one time I was playing Kingdom Hearts and I just left it on the start menu. It just did stuff.
You messed up. Hopefully you're not doing anything important. It's like, oh, okay, this is too relaxing. It's like, where am I? How did I start? Am I awake now? Is this a dream?
Is this a dream?
Am I now Sora?
Oh my god, when am I gonna get the Keyblade? Oh, so many questions. But yeah, your the Dearly Beloved was really great, and I went on your YouTube, which is just youtube.com/KJHD.
Yep.
And that will be linked on the website. If you go to starttocontinue.com, the show notes for this show, and on the artist page. So I have a huge list of artists. Just look for KJ, the KEYJAY. So other stuff that you do, there is some Sonic stuff, so there's other Kingdom Hearts stuff. What got you into doing video game remixes and covers?
Well, traditionally being a video gamer for like years, like I started, I don't have like a grand history of going back to Commodore 64 or anything like that, but I came in on NES, definitely starting off with Mario. But I think what really springboarded my gaming adventures from here on out was definitely Sega Genesis and Sonic the Hedgehog. So became a huge Sonic fanboy, like Sonic every day, Sonic 2, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, mm-hmm. Sonic Spinball, the Sonic cartoon, the Sonic AM cartoon. It just accelerated after that. Then I just got, PlayStation game in the PS2 realm late, and then finally ran into Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, and that just took you off in a way different direction than Sonic, huh?
Oh yes. Like I think what actually like got me super interested in it was definitely Utada Hikaru's song Simple and Clean at the time, and mm-hmm. just how I was blending it. I was also a Disney fan as well. I still am a Disney fan of like animated Disney features, and then seeing that blended in with Final Fantasy and all this other stuff, I said, what in the world is happening now? So I was like, wow, this song is incredible. This game looks incredible. It's got Disney and it's got Final Fantasy. There's Cloud there. Okay, now I got this. I have to get this now.
That pretty much was everybody's reaction. Like, this can't be possible. None of this can be possible, can it? And then you get hit with Simple and Clean, and you're like, this is okay. So we're in the best timeline now. I see.
Yes. But getting back to the original question, also what made me start doing video game remixes. I was an avid browser of OC Remix back in the day. I made a couple of CD mixtapes on CD, burned a couple songs on there, and I tried submitting a couple of things. I never got accepted out of one of them. Cry, but I submitted a Ristar remix, orchestrated remix. I don't know if you remember Ristar back in the day.
Kinda do.
I believe if I know the history, if I get the history right, I think Ristar came pre-Sonic, during the mascot wars when Sega was trying to figure out a mascot, or I think it may have that wrong though.
I think it was early in either it was either late in the Master System or early in the Genesis.
Yeah.
When they were trying to figure out like what like you said, like what to put out, like to try to fight against Mario.
Yeah. And it was a great game. I mean if I'm not mistaken, it also borrows some elements from Commando, the one with the one on Super NES with the arm.
Oh, Captain Commando.
Captain Commando. That's it. It had a great art style. It had great music. You know, Sega is also renowned for their music soundtracks. But this game gets so little attention, but the soundtrack built under it was really, really, really good as well. Like, eventually, I want to do some more remixes off of there if I can.
Oh, of course, yeah. Oh.
But just so
you know, like, or just so everybody knows, if you go to ocremix.org, then you can download literally thousands of songs for free. That's where most of the music from the first hour of Press Start comes from. And you should submit again.
Yeah.
You definitely should.
Yeah. The only reason why I couldn't use the Project Kingdom 13, unfortunately, is it does do a couple elements that was against some of their policies, unfortunately. Mm. But I definitely because there's a couple of games that I do actually want to look at again. Also back then I did do some subtle remixes of Streets of Rage. Back then, I actually was working on a fan game of Streets of Rage called Streets of Rage 4 UEI Edition. It's now probably in the ethers of the internet somewhere. You can probably still find it. It was a Game Maker-based project. You can probably still download the file, and if you want to play with it, it's probably still available. But yeah, I did a couple of remixes of there, like Keep Straight from Yuzo Koshiro. Yeah, Yuzo Koshiro. Keep Straight was on there. The bar music from level one, part two of Streets of Rage 2 is also on there. A deep history of remixing or trying to remix a couple tracks.
Right.
And the great part about it is that it just gives you practice of actually, you know, you get better and better as you do it. And then you start to hear things more. You start to listen and learn specific cues and aspects of how to actually compose and arrange, how to remix. It's all a learning experience, and you just get better over time.
So it's really interesting to see what their early works were versus what they're putting out now, like how they progressed and what's changed and how their style has changed. I'm sure that there are different... you've changed your style and you changed how you compose, like from back then to right now. Like,
Oh yeah. Like, I'm one for not really, deleting anything. Like I still have like classic projects that I've held back since, I was like beginning high school, and just hearing like some of the changes of how I executed, I finally learned what a quantizer was. So like certain chords and stuff like that, you just like, oh, why did I do that? It just hits you. It's like, my previous me. But some of this, but it's also interesting of like seeing some of your creative processes of how you have spurts of brilliance. It's like, wow. How did I do that? So it's a nice reference point, and also like a good learning point of where you were, and just to continue to, you know, to help you to continue to grow.
Definitely. I know that if you go to starttocontinue.com and some of my first shows are on there, and they sound very much different. We were pressing like the incorrect buttons all the time. Like, there's one time where I put Snoop Dogg on the air because it was just on my computer at the time. Did not know. had the volume too low in the booth. We went through like probably like three Snoop Dogg songs, like with colorful language. But there are other times where, you know, just like you said, in the creative process, you're like,
and here's Press Start, we'll be right back.
Yeah, nah, nah, exactly. Nah, nah.
Like, oh, wait, hold on.
Exactly.
Now we got money for Snoop Dogg, so we made it.
It was like, Oh, it was "Bitch, That Weed Is Mine." It went through the whole thing. And my friend was like, do you know what you're playing? I'm like, but there are times that when you listen to it, it's like, oh, those songs go together well. And anybody that's doing any kind of art, web comics or painting or anything like that, definitely save your old stuff, because it can be another inspiration.
Yeah, it's a freeze frame in time. It's like,
so keep your stuff, and it really gives you a picture of your past, and it can be a inspiration for the future. I wanted to ask, like, has that happened? Like, were you listening to some of your earlier work, and you said, "Oh, that's really interesting. I should try to do that."
Oh yes, a couple of times. Like, Facebook was also so nice enough to actually play a track that I was working on that I needed a speaking poet for, which I'm actually still have a friend of mine. I still want her to do it. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. There's not really much lyrically going on, but I liked what I was doing with production so much. Like, when I heard it again, it's like, wow, Jamal, where were you at that time? You have to finish that. And it just comes every once in a while. It's like, SoundCloud is also good for saving previous work and everything like that.
Right.
But yeah, some days I'll just go through like my render folder of just things that I either haven't published or I haven't finished, and just play, just click, 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 like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that sucks. Oh, why did I do that? Oh, how did I do that?
Why did I do that?
What was I using to do that? What did I eat to make that decision?
Was I tired that day, or
did I have a stomach virus? Did I have a pizza?
I was delirious, and I just hit keys on the keyboard. That was just me falling asleep on the keyboard. What? Oh my god.
Oh yeah, and I'm actually getting a little bit better at sleepy compositions now. Like, I've pretty much changed my schedule for early morning stuff, so it's like, okay, I'm half asleep, but yeah, I have to push myself to be a lot more creative. But it's helping, I will say that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that if you work like early in the morning, or with some people late at night, like your brain is not as active, and the creative juices can flow much yes. easier, since you're just half awake and you're like, yeah, I'm make music.
I used to do it religiously on like Friday nights. That was my production night. Now mm-hmm. it's like I can't really do as many nights as I used to. So I switched it to mornings. Now it's like, okay, yeah, this is actually better. Like, ooh. I start my day off with music before I go to work. It's like, yeah, nice good foot start.
That's awesome. So it's really good to find a workflow, like your workflow, because that you can say, here's where I'm most creative, here's where I can do my best work, and I can consistently do that time. So that's really that's really important for any creative process, I think.
Yes,
but
I agree.
Thinking of creation stuff, that's going to be the segue. I wanted to talk about some of your music. Okay. And the first track I wanted to ask you about was Sonic 3 and Knuckles' Sand Trap. It's a remix of the Sandopolis zone
yep.
theme. And can you tell me, like, what made you think to remix this song, and what went into it?
Okay. So I've actually, bar none, Sonic 3 and Knuckles is probably my favorite game of all time, even though, you know, it's not much of a story, whatever, whatnot. I've played it probably 50 plus times, and I still play it over and over again, even to this day. I just love this game. So I wanted to do a remix of a track somewhere in this, in entirety of the soundtrack. Sandopolis was a weird choice, but
yeah.
the interesting part about it, and why I think it got also so popular, is that when you look at the gamut of remixes that are out there, they'll take the normal approach of what you would expect: sand, deserts, deep grungy sound, or deep guitars. There's actually a very this was actually a very, very good guitar-based remix of Sandopolis on, and I really love it. It's called Live in Sandopolis. It is really, really good. If you get a chance to listen to that, please do. But like that remix and like other remixes that take the same approach, they take the same approach. What you think about deserts? You think and how the original soundtrack was actually the original song was actually crafted. Very, not really dry, but very like. You're looking through the heat, you're looking through the desert sand, you're trying to cover your eyes to not get the sand in your eyes, so you know you're there in a desert aspect of it. I said, okay, let's take a surfboard and put it on a sand dune and let's have some fun. Let's go surfing down some sand dunes. So I made a ska remix of Sandopolis Zone. Totally left field, and people, and from what I saw from some other reviews, it's like, yeah, when you look at a remix, this is what we like. This, it's like you wouldn't expect that. I mean, yes, you got the classic like Eastern Indian instruments, like, you know, you have the sitars, right, and stuff, right, like that, but you have a ska element under it with like the trumpets, the brass, some of the guitar scats, and it moves, it pumps, and my favorite part is definitely the bridge, but. Yeah, it was just totally left field. I don't know what I was thinking. It's like, sure, let's make some ska.
Well, this is Sonic 3 & Knuckles Sand Trap by KJ, and you're listening to Press Start to Continue on Valley Fear Radio. that was Sandtrap by KJ. And I'm really happy to be able to talk to you on Valley for Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton, Massachusetts. Had to get the legal stuff in there. So one thing that I, by the way, that was from Sonic 3 and Knuckles, the Syndopolis Zone remix, and it's great. It's awesome. one thing that I always ask is, especially with Nerds of Color, which we are, how has that affected your take on remixing or your take on basically your art, your nerd-centric art, let's call it. I mean, we have a unique perspective in let's say the nerd community, has that had any effect on things?
I say probably a little, really. Like, growing up, I had pretty much an exposure to a lot of genres, from gospel to jazz to classical. So I wouldn't say that black oriented music styles like jazz and hip hop was my centric, is a forefront in my central approach to actually creating music. I think it's definitely a contributor. Like, I definitely, my jazz practices and everything like that definitely contribute to it. But as far as like being a black nerd and how it influenced the creation process of my music, I wouldn't really say too much, honestly. Mm-hmm. I pretty much make music that I feel at in the present moment, honestly. Not necessarily that it's because I'm a specific minority or black or whatever, whatnot, or tailored to a specific minority or group. It just pretty much flows, honestly. Cool. But as far as like my experiences as being a black nerd as in the classical state, because you know, like diversity is a big thing now in current culture and movies and stuff like that, like the high praises with like Black Panther and everything like that, which is definitely something that I appreciate being a black nerd, of course. And also the black community actually coming out in conventions and seeing them at in more present in cosplays and alternate versions of popular characters. Mm-hmm. Like we had like a black Ichigo and everything like this. Like, yeah, that's cool. A black Goku. Oh, that's really cool. So I definitely pride myself as being a contributor to the arts as a black nerd in this medium. And, you know, I definitely want to do more, and hopefully we start to see the black nerd culture actually embracing even more of this thing, or like in a popular sense.
Yeah.
Like,
you mean like the black culture, like black culture, accepting more nerdy stuff, or, could you be more specific about that?
Sure. Like, definitely more in nerd culture, and also, I guess you could say in, different aspects of music interpretation, or pretty much nerd interpretations, if anything else like that, I could say. One thing I will say, though, is that one of the tracks that I am actually working on for the project actually does tailor to a lot of aspects of different music, including definitely black culture and everything like that, and black styles. I can't really say too much about it yet. But I think the aspect of where I went with it for Project Kingdom Hearts, and as me being also a black composer, I think you will see aspects of that in that track, which I think my black audiences and my other minority audiences will definitely appreciate.
And that is a perfect segue into exactly why. And that is a perfect segue into the main reason why I wanted you to have you on. Like I said, that you had this this cover of Dearly Beloved, but that is part of a larger project called Project Kingdom 13.
That is correct.
And can you tell us more about that? What is Project Kingdom 13?
Sure. So Project Kingdom 13 is an homage project to the soundtrack from Kingdom Hearts, featuring the works of Yoko Shimomura and Utada Hikaru. It's it's a unique interpretation of the of their original songs in different styles with different artists, including myself, with new interpretations, new instrumentations, and generally just a new distinct direction other than, you know, classic orchestra. So it takes like some of the songs on there take like 6-part harmony, a cappella vocalizations. Others just like future bass house remixes, and you know, it just goes in many different directions.
So it just a lot of unique directions. There are, and you're posting them on your website, which is or on your YouTube, like I said, was youtube.com/ KEYJAYHD, KJHD. So there's, I believe, 3 or 4 tracks on there right now.
Yes, I believe we're at 4 right now, soon to be 5. We also have a website for it. It's mm-hmm. going to be www.pkxiii, so XIII for 13, .com, where you'll find all the information there. But it's slowly being pushed up to Spotify as well. So
oh,
it's
nice.
So, yep, we have a couple up there on Spotify. The next one should be up there too. It's definitely on YouTube, like. And it's definitely on SoundCloud as well. So many places to find it.
So that is PKXIII or Project 13, PK13 from numerals. And where did you get that name?
Well, 13. There's a lot of relevance in the number 13 everywhere in Kingdom Hearts. I figured that, okay, this is Kingdom 13, like it's just the kingdom of just things of 13 just happening everywhere around Kingdom Hearts. Like I think it's like, okay, like you combine Sora, Riku, and Kairi's name, and you add up all the characters, that's the number 13. The organization 13, obviously, the fact that Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be the release date is the 13th year since the previous one or something like that. So it's just everywhere. The number 13 is like, okay, sure. That works.
And the, you guys that actually, like, I always have trouble following along with the plot of Kingdom Hearts, like no matter how hard I try. And you, y'all that can do that, just my hat's off.
I mean, there's YouTubers that just go in on every aspect of the way deeper than I ever could. Like, just all the minor details of like the different histories, the different Xehanorts, and all this other stuff. And yeah, like, okay,
it's crazy.
I'm actually doing a replay of all of them. Honestly, like,
really,
I unfortunately blasphemy though. Quote unquote. I did not play the in-between games, unfortunately. So I did play the main sequence games, like one and two, but like I do have the 1.5 plus 2.5 re-release HD re-release on PS4, so I can go back and play. I just finished Kingdom Hearts 1. Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna beeline over Recoded. and then go to the next one. But I really want to get to Birth by Sleep because I hear so much about it. Oh my goodness.
One of the games that I've always really loved was Chain of Memories.
Yes.
And I played that on what was on the GBA, I think.
Yes.
And it's always been one of my favorite games. Like even though like a lot of people don't like the card aspect. Have you gone through that one yet?
I tried. I unfortunately I'm with the popular decision on that one. I tried, like,
yeah.
And the one on the PS4 version, the remake off of it is it's pretty nice, and I can see why people actually like it. But for me, it just wasn't for me.
Honestly, I don't know why they made it into a 3D game. The aesthetic really doesn't lend itself to.
I actually kind of like the sprite version of the original.
Yeah, the original composition and the music and the way that the way that you use your cards and everything, it really lends itself to a handheld experience. So I don't. It was it, like I my friend Nay is playing that on Twitch, and I was watching. I was like, how. Why? but I wanted to play a track, one track from Project Kingdom 13. This is Side by Side, and that is the Hand in Hand theme.
Yes, that's correct. There.
So this is Side by Side. Anything you want to say about this track before I
get ready to dance?
Yeah, it is. So this is Side by Side by KJ. It is from the continuing project of Project Kingdom 13. And you're listening to Press Start to Continue.
Turn up.
Come on! world heal.
That was Side by Side, AV theme Hand in Hand from Kingdom Hearts from Project Kingdom 13 by KJ. And press R to continue is happy to have you on. and during the break, while we were playing the music, we were talking about your Patreon that I'm assuming goes to support the project.
Yeah, so right now I'm at Project Kingdom 13 is at a part one stage where it's the tracks that are actually in mine are only for the part one of the project. Part two, I want to actually be a lot more involved. I actually have in mind a 4-string quartet, a couple of other artists that I have in the wings that would definitely be down for the project. But you know, studio time and everything like that, it makes things a little a little strained. So what the Patreon is, aside of also helping me also with my own creative endeavors, also goes towards funding the part two of Project Kingdom 13, which I definitely have Skirts of the Note Day in the wings. I definitely have Traverse Town in the wings for that one. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting interpretations that I have in mind for part two. Oh, there's a couple of what if tracks that I have in there. One thing I would actually love to see in a Kingdom Hearts world of is a Robin Hood world, and I have a unique idea of blending, you know, the whistle theme from the at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, definitely. I love that movie.
Yes. That's one I'm actually doing a Disney binge, so I'm slowly getting up to some of my favorite films. Like, okay, yeah, 101 Dalmatians is coming up, Robin Hood's coming up, Fox and the Hound is coming up. Yeah. Like, yes. So
okay, here's my most important question of the night. Sword in the Stone.
Oh my god.
All right. We can continue the interview now. That is one of my favorite movies, and I actually game with a guy named Archimedes. All right, his name's Archie, but his full name's Archimedes, and I have to keep stopping myself from making owl jokes all the time because he's like when I first met him, like it's easier now. Okay, so yeah, like 101 Dalmatians and Robin Hood is a classic. So yeah, if that would be amazing if they had a Robin Hood world in like Kingdom Hearts 3 or something like that.
Oh yes, and like my idea is like, okay, the whistle theme from the beginning of it, and mm-hmm. then you know the Archer games battle theme.
Yes, I think
when Robin Hood was escaping.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of blending both of those two together.
Ooh. Cool.
So I actually need a couple of musicians. Like I have a banjo player in mind. I have I need somebody with a bass drum. the big Wagner bass, the big bass drums that you hit with the mallet. Right. I need some recording with that. So it's a lot more involved going on to part two. So that would definitely be what the Patreon would actually go towards.
What is that
ramen?
You gotta have fuel. I mean, so what is the Patreon?
You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/KJHD. In fact, you can find me almost anywhere with KJHD. KJHD,
like, yeah.
Twitter, KJHD, Facebook, KJHD, YouTube, KJHD, Patreon, KJHD. It's everywhere.
Excellent. All right. So all of these links are going to be on these for this interview are going to be on the show notes below or on the website starttocontinue.com and just click on artists at the top. You'll be able to find all the artists that I play and all the artists that I've interviewed and their band camps and their Patreons and everything, especially KJ's. Right here. So patreon.com/KJ at KJ. KJHD at KJHD on Twitter, right?
Yep.
So definitely follow him on there. So you can get updates on like what he's doing. And definitely subscribe to the KJHD YouTube because there is a bunch of great music on there. So is there anything else that you'd like to plug before we go?
I guess the last thing would be, yes, follow me on Spotify too.
Yes! I always forget about Spotify. I'm old, so I'm like streaming. I have MP3 files.
What is this instant download on demand music service?
So definitely follow on Spotify. Just search for KJ HD.
For Spotify, is unfortunately it's going to be different. It's going to be just KJ.
Just KJ.
Yes.
All right. So on Spotify, just look for KJ and Project Kingdom 13. I can't wait to see what else is coming out. There are a couple. There are 4 tracks out right now, and we played side by side. We're just about to play my favorite, Dearly Beloved. especially that it's like kind of like an ambiance, kind of like really, really chilled out version. I just okay.
And since a lot of fans know the song already, I kind of assume their intelligence of actually not playing every single note of the actual theme, because you can fill it in with your brain, and it just feels more satisfying knowing that, okay, this is the theme. Oh, I'm involved in the listening process a little bit. So it with the piano, it just takes out a few notes here and there, but it works.
All right. This is audio, so you can't see my face right now. Cause right now I'm thinking, son of a, it's true. What the? Okay. So we're gonna listen to "Dearly Beloved," Ambiverse mix from KJ from Project Kingdom 13. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here. It was a lot of fun. We must do it again.
When you get to the full album, you got to come back. We can do a little listen party or something like that.
Oh yes, that's a plan.
All
definitely.
Right. So thank you everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
Bye, y'all.